As I said, we're doing something a little bit different today. We don't have a kids' talk as such. The sermon, in good Free Church tradition, is split into three parts. But I'm actually going to preach each of them separately. We're going to break them up, we're going to keep each chunk short, and we're going to have different stuff coming up and down through the service as the kids talk to us about the work that we do with them. So the title of the sermon is Come, and we have three different headings which we'll look at separately, and those are Come, Children, Let the Children Come, and Come Like Children. So our first that we're looking at just now, that we're going to look at to begin with, is to say, Come, Children. So although this one might sound like it's particularly aimed at the young folks, that doesn't mean that the grown-ups get to switch off, okay? There's something for everybody here. We're going to be looking at the different aspects of this, we're going to be considering it, and there's something for everyone. Having said that, I want to start by asking the young folks some questions. Put your hands up, young folk. How many of you drove to church today? Now, I don't mean how many of you were in the car coming to church. I mean how many of you drove the car to church. Jacob, wow. Okay, for the rest of you who did not drive the car to church today, why not? Why didn't you drive the car to church today? Why not? Why did you not drive? Because you don't know how to drive. Why not? Because you're 12 years old. It's a bit of a light excuse, don't you think? Okay, fair enough. How many of you young folk, how many of you are going to work tomorrow morning in your office and you're going to spend the day in meetings so that you can pay all your bills and you can make sure there's enough food on the table? How many of you are doing that? How many of you aren't doing that, young folk? Some of you don't seem sure. Okay. Why not? Why are you not going to do that? Anybody? I think it's probably very similar to the answer we got earlier about driving, isn't it? Because you're too young. Of course you are. You're too young to do that. When are you going to do those things then? Jacob? No? When you're older, you're going to do those things when you're older. So there's a lot of stuff that you can't do right now, or at least that it's probably a really bad idea for you to do right now, like driving the car to church, because you're too young. And you know, sometimes that can be really frustrating, because sometimes it's things that you might want to do that you're too young to do. But sometimes you're not too bothered, because the things that you can't do yet, well, wait until you're older, there's no rush. You don't have to worry about it. So, you know, you wait until you're older. Maybe the things are a bit complicated, maybe they're hard, or maybe, quite frankly, they're boring, right? There are boring things that grown-ups have to do that you guys don't have to do. Am I right, grown-ups? Yeah. You can enjoy being young, and you'll get round to these things when you're older. But sometimes that's how people think about following Jesus, isn't it? Get round to it when I'm older, when I can study better, when I understand more, when I've finished enjoying being young. Because you might think it's too complicated, you might think it's grown-ups, you might, frankly, think it's boring. It's for when I'm older. Grown-ups, you still with me here? Do you recognize any of these thoughts? Do you maybe remember thinking that way? Some of you maybe still think that way now. I'll get round to it. Not now, later. What does Jesus say about that, I wonder? Well, if we look at the first passage that the boys read for us, if we look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 2, we read there that he called a little child. So Jesus called a child. There were loads of other people there, but Jesus called the child. And he didn't say, hey kid, come to me when you're older. He didn't just point and say, do you see that little boy over there? I'm going to use him as an example in a story. He called them to come to him, and he called them to come to him now, not later, not when they're older, not when they got bigger. Jesus calls children now. So let me ask the young folks some other questions. Young people, how many of you, hands up young folk, how many of you have eaten something today or plan at some point today to eat food? I'd be really concerned if the hands weren't going up here, but that is good news. How many of you, hands up again, have had something to drink today, water or milk or juice or even a cup of tea, I don't know. How many of you have had something to drink or plan to have something to drink today? Okay, that's interesting. You've all done that. How many of you are breathing in and out? Many of you breathe. Yeah? Cool. Why are you doing that now? Why aren't you waiting until you're older? Okay, that's a silly question, isn't it? I can see people thinking, people are going to look at me and ask me to answer that. Of course you don't wait to do those things till you're older because you need them. They're essential. They're what keep you alive. And Jesus is like that. Jesus isn't like doing your taxes. He's not like driving a car. He's not like studying at university. He's not like having to fill in loads of forms. You don't need to be super smart and understand everything and be able to answer all the questions people have. He's like breathing. He's essential. He's not boring. We all need him. You need him now. I don't know if any of you have noticed, but I am a little bit older than some of you. Okay, let's not go into detail about how much, but I'm a little bit older than some of you guys. And you know what? There is still a whole load of stuff that I don't know and I don't understand. Because God is so marvelous. And there's some stuff I'll never understand. And sometimes there are still things that I look at and I think, that looks like fun. And I maybe even sometimes think that they look like more fun than following Jesus. I'm wrong. I'm totally wrong about that. But sometimes I still think that way. Grown-ups, you still with us? This sounding familiar? Jesus doesn't say, come to me when you're older. He doesn't say, come to me when you know everything. He doesn't say, come to me when you've tried all the other stuff and you've realized that it's not actually all that. Jesus says, come to me right now. Right now, as you are, little children. In our second passage that we read, the passage from Mark that Duncan read, it doesn't say that when the children came to Jesus, he kind of went, all right, thanks very much, off you go, come back and see me when you're older. No. Verse 16 of that passage says, he took the children in his arms, and he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them, because they matter to Jesus. There's a passage in the Old Testament, in the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 12, where it says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, when you are young, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you say, I'm finding no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator when you're young, because that is how you enjoy being young. Don't wait until you're old and worn out like some people. Do it now. Do it while you're young. Trust Jesus and follow him, because Jesus is the best news ever. And following Jesus, I won't pretend it's always easy, but it's definitely not boring. It's amazing, and it is the best thing you can do. So don't put it off any more than you would put off breathing. Jesus says to the children, come, come, come now. I want you all to hear that. That's what we're going to be focusing on today. So please, hear Jesus when he says, come, and will you come to him. So, this idea that coming to Jesus is something for when we are older. I don't think it's just the kids who think that way sometimes, is it? And I'm not entirely convinced that them the idea starts with. Let them wait until they understand a bit more, right? I mean, they've got their stuff. They've got their Sunday school, they've got their youth groups, they've got their parties. We've got ours, right? Proper church for grown-ups. Is that what Jesus says, though? Well, spoiler, no it isn't. Second passage that we read, the passage that from Mark. We read there that people were bringing children to Jesus. They were not just sitting them down somewhere nearby and giving them something to keep them busy and occupied while the grown-ups got on with the proper business of listening. They were bringing them right up to him. They were bringing them to him close enough that he could lay his hands on them and bless them. You can read about that there in verse 13, people bringing children to Jesus. And we can also read how the disciples reacted. The disciples rebuked the parents. They told the parents off. It's fairly strong language to say they rebuked them. They tried to stop them. They said, no, no, you can't do this. This is wrong. What are you doing? Stop it. What was going on there? Well, you see, what the disciples were doing was they were passing judgment. They were laying down rules. They were setting boundaries. And they were using their own criteria to judge and to decide who was and who wasn't right, who was ready, who was suitable to come to Jesus. You ever done that? In the time and the place that those events happened that we read about, children, it would be very wrong to say the children weren't valued. And say that children weren't loved, because they absolutely were. But they had no status in society. They were nobodies, legally and socially, until they came of age. So, because of that, the disciples thought they weren't worth wasting Jesus' time over. Children wouldn't be able to understand. They couldn't make decisions for themselves. Their parents had to do that for them. They had nothing to offer Jesus. They had nothing to bring to him. So the disciples tried to stop them coming. Because Jesus, right? Jesus was a serious teacher with a serious message for serious people. So let the kids be kids, right? But we don't want them intruding in grown-up stuff, do we? Well, again, what does Jesus think of that? Does Jesus say to the disciples, good work, lads, keep it up? Does he thank them for freeing him up for the serious work without the distractions of children? Well, he doesn't, does he? We can read about his response in verse 14 of Mark chapter 10. Because it says there that when Jesus saw this, when he saw the disciples doing this, he was indignant. And he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Indignant. He doesn't just sigh and shake his head and say, oh, those disciples. They're at it again, really. He's angry with them. And he says, don't hinder them. Get out of their way. Don't you dare get in the way of them. Let them come to me. Because the gospel's not like a computer game or a DVD. It doesn't come with an age certificate on it. The gospel is for absolutely everybody. It's not just for those of us that have passed a certain milestone of years on this planet. The gospel is for everyone. I don't know if people still say this, but there used to be a saying around the church that children are the church of the future. A lovely sentiment. It sounds great. But it's wrong. Because children are not the church of the future. Children are part of the church of right now. Just the same as all of the rest of us. We are all the church of right now, whether we're children or older people. Right? From the beginning of God choosing his people, right from the Old Testament where he called out his people and made a covenant, an agreement with them, children were part of that covenant. Children are part of the called out people of God, the family of God, part of the church family. Now that doesn't mean that every single child of Christian parents is going to be saved. Because, as the saying goes, God has no grandchildren, only children. And it doesn't mean that when we baptize infants, which we do, we believe in that as part of the covenant, it doesn't mean that they are granted some kind of special magical protection. They are part of the covenant family and they belong with us in our gatherings, but there is still something else that they need. And it's something that we all need, but there is something that they need. And do you know what that is? Jesus said it. Let the children come to me, he said. Children have to come to Jesus, just the same as the rest of us. And they can't do that if we were like the disciples standing there going, no, this is for grown-ups. Jesus is busy. This is serious. This is for grown-ups. The children have to come to Jesus. That should be what we all desperately want to see. Yeah, okay, that sounds nice, you might say, but children have got really short attention span, right? Jesus says, let them come. Children, they can't grasp quite the same levels of complex stuff, and they can't always put their words, their thoughts into words and reason like grown-ups can. Jesus says, let them come. And children sometimes struggle to sit still. Children maybe fidget a little bit. Children sometimes make a bit of a noise. Jesus says, let them come. We should enjoy it. It's great to have young people here. There are churches who would give their right arm to have the young people. And it's not just about young people either. Remember, children had no social status in that day. So the disciples thought it was okay to draw these lines which put them on the outside. Aren't there still groups of people who we sometimes think about that way? People who we think belong on the outside. People who we don't think are the right kind of people to be wasting Jesus' time with. People who we just don't think fit. We might not think it consciously. We might never put it into words, even in our heads. I hope we never say it out loud. But each and every one of us has a list somewhere of the right kind of people. And by inference, anyone who's not on that list is the wrong kind of people. What do you think Jesus says to that? Jesus says, let them come me. And who are we to argue with Jesus? Are we going to say, I hear what you're saying, Jesus, but I think we know better? Because he also says, don't hinder them. Don't you dare put barriers in the way of the ones I am calling. Don't you dare get in there. Hard question time. Are we putting barriers in people's way? Are we putting things in place that make it harder for certain types of people to respond to Jesus' call? Whether that's our children and our young folk or anybody else at all. Maybe without even realizing it, are we being like the disciples? Are we presuming to decide who gets to come to Jesus? Are we acting like gatekeepers on the gospel? Because back in Matthew 18, the first passage that we looked at, Jesus talks about anybody who causes any of these children to stumble, anybody who puts obstacles in the paths of those who are coming to him. What does he say about them? He says it would be better if they were thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck. I don't know how many of you have seen a millstone. They're not that common these days, but they're enormous and they are heavy. And if you go into the sea with one of those around your necks, you are not climbing back out. Jesus says you're better off experiencing that than you are getting in the way of his children coming to him. And when we try and limit who comes to Jesus, you know who loses out? It's not Jesus. It's us. The church is a body of many parts, many people, all different. I don't know about you guys, but I love having kids in church with us. I love it. Guys, are you listening, young people? You are such an encouragement to me and to everybody. We are so delighted to have you. We are encouraged to see you coming back week in, week out. Please don't let any of the dumb stuff grown-ups do put you off, okay? you are an encouragement. You enrich the lives of the church family. And you know, that's true for everybody here. All of you are an encouragement and an enrichment to the family, and we are better for having you all here with us. Do you know what else Jesus says in Matthew 18 in verse 5? He says that whoever welcomes children like this, or anyone like these children, whoever welcomes them in Jesus' name, welcomes him. That's incredible, isn't it? When we welcome a young person and we say, come, be a part of us, be with us, be part of our family. When we welcome somebody with no social status, somebody who's not on our list of the right people, when we do that, it's like we're welcoming Jesus himself. He says that, his words, not mine. Amazing. And that is not to say that as our children grow up, we don't hope that they learn a due reverence for the amazing God that we worship. It's not to say that we don't want them to grow up to know God's way of living and to follow his ways of living. And it's not to say that we don't want them to learn more about the Bible and God as they grow. But it is saying that we shouldn't wait for that. We shouldn't wait for that to happen before they come. We shouldn't set an entrance exam or a standard that they have to meet. We shouldn't expect it to happen before they come to Jesus. We want to wait until our children are perfect. It's never going to happen. Just like it's never happened to us, has it? We can't expect to happen to them if we never got there. When they're older, when they understand more, when they're a bit more like us. Now. Jesus calls them now. Jesus calls them right now, and he says, don't you get in their way. You let them come. And then you rejoice. When they do, you enjoy having them with you. You let them come into your meetings, you let them come in, and you pray for the day that they hear Jesus' voice and they say, I want to follow him. Then you rejoice. That is an amazing gift. Before we look at our third heading, we are going to sing again. We're going to sing Psalm 127. Psalm 127 is a song about building a house, isn't it? Well, no. Because there's some clever puns in here. The words for building are basically the same as the words for children and sons, with a slight variation. They come from the same root in Hebrew. And the house is another way of describing a family or a group. And this is a psalm which tells us the children are part of a family, and that they are a gift from God to be rejoiced over. And they remind us that when it comes to building up a church, a family, if we try and do it on our own, it's a waste of time, because only God can do it. And God does it by giving us the kids, by giving us people who are in faith still children, and by helping and encouraging us to build. So, unless the Lord builds up a house, it's builders toil in vain. Unless he keeps the city safe, they vainly watch, maintain. This is a great psalm. Let's join together. Let's stand and sing this psalm to his praise. So, if Jesus calls the children to come, and if he says to those who would act as gatekeepers and get in their way, let them come, what does he have to say to all of us? What does he have to say to every single one of us here? Well, if we look back at that passage we read in Matthew chapter 18, and if we look at what it says there in verse 3, we read, he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And then again in the passage that we read from Mark, which was another occasion, we read in Mark chapter 10 and verse 15, we read that he said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So what does that mean? What does it mean for all of us? Well, Let's think about some things which are true about children, shall we? Children don't completely understand everything that's going on around them. Okay, that's one truth. Children, this may come as a shock to some of you, children do not always do the right thing. I hope I'm not kind of spoiling anybody's illusions there. Children cannot bring anything to the table to Jesus. They cannot give him anything he needs, and they cannot do anything towards their own salvation. I think you can probably see where I'm going with this, can't you? Does this sound at all familiar to anybody? Does it? Because it sounds an awful lot like me. And I think it sounds an awful lot like all of us. Do you recognize yourselves in that? Because in the passage that we read in Matthew, this whole thing started off because the disciples were basically arguing among themselves about which one of them was going to be the greatest in heaven, and they thought they'd ask Jesus to settle the dispute. It's there in verse 1 of that passage in Matthew 18. Oh, Jesus, which of us is best? Which of us has done the most? Which of us has contributed most? Which of us could you not have done this without? Which of us is the greatest? Who has the highest status? And what does Jesus say to them there in verses 3 and 4? He says, I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That, I tell you the truth, or truly I tell you, it translates a Greek phrase which is really, really emphatic. In some of the very old English translations, you might have, verily, verily, I say unto you. Some of us might be familiar with that language. Verily, verily, I say unto you. We're translating it in the way we speak every day today. We might say, listen up. Hear this. This is important. It's a phrase that Jesus uses when he's got something that he really has to get through to his disciples. And he really has to get it through to us. Truly, I tell you, listen up. He completely subverts their expectations here. Do you notice that? They come to him saying, which of us is going to be greatest? Which of us gets the most status? Which of us? Please, please, which of us? He basically says, you've got your priorities all wrong. You guys have got it backwards. And then in Mark's account, in Mark's gospel, in that the bit that we read, the disciples don't want Jesus being bothered by all these no status children. They thought it was their job to gatekeep. They thought it was their job to decide who gets close to Jesus. And he tells them, no, no, no. It's his call. It's not theirs. And he says again, if you don't come to Jesus like one of these children, then you don't come at all. That's pretty blunt. Here they are saying, no kids, please, no children. And he says, no. Unless you become more like them, you don't get it. What does that mean for you and I? What does it mean for us today? Well, it means that we have to recognize that before God, we are all children. Some of us are older children than others, but we are all children before God. So we need to stop focusing on all the things that the world looks after status, all the things the world thinks are important. We need to forget about our wealth, our cleverness, our qualifications, our pedigree, our heritage, the work we do for the church, our titles and positions. All of these things that we do or have or don't do or don't have. Because none of them matter. Whether we've been following Jesus for years, or whether we've just started, or do you know what? Even if you are sitting here right now and you are hearing this message and you are hearing this call from Jesus and you are wondering if it's you that's being called, if this call is for you, spoiler, yes, yes, it absolutely is. Whichever of these categories you're in, however you sit, we bring nothing. We contribute nothing but our mess. We don't know enough to save ourselves and we never will. We could study God's word for a lifetime and we scratch the surface. So if you're worried that you're not good enough, well, of course you're not. And you never will be. And neither will anybody else here. And that's the whole point. Jesus is good enough. We don't have to be. Jesus doesn't say, sort yourselves out and then come to me. Jesus doesn't say, go away and study this and then come to me. No. He says we need to come to him like children. We need to be prepared to stop taking ourselves so seriously. Be more like the kids who are just living life and loving it. We need to come to Jesus like that. We need to recognize that we are absolutely dependent on him. The way a little infant is dependent on their parents. So all of you, each and every one of you, whether you are young or old, I'm trying really hard not to point in any particular direction as I say this, but whether you are young or old or somewhere in between, whatever your background, whatever your circumstances, whether you know the Bible inside out and backwards and can recite it off by heart, or whether you have just started picking it up and looking at it. Whoever, whatever, wherever you are, Jesus calls you. Jesus calls you where you are. He calls you to come in the kind of humility that some of us really struggle with. And he calls you to come to him like children. But what's really important is that he calls you to come. Just the same way as our kids can't save themselves and those children couldn't save themselves. And the thing that they still needed was Jesus. The same is true of every one of us. Whether you've been a Christian for longer than some of us have been alive, whether you're not yet and you're still wrestling with the whole thing, whether you're finding the walk straightforward or whether you are struggling, Jesus says, come to him like little children. So he can take us in his arms and bless us. Amen. Praise God for his goodness and his graciousness. Let's pray.